guys jerk off while watching this movie?
None.
Okay.
Oh, great American multitude and sports fans everywhere. Today we inaugurate the 20th annual Transcontinental Road Race. Today, the five bravest young men and women in this bravest of nations will risk their lives in the greatest sporting event since the days of Spartacus.
Save it for the French. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. This is episode 202, and I'm joined tonight by Brian Herman the German Dunaway.
Oh, it's Murder Race Day. What am I going to wear? Let's see. My Earnhardt shirt? No, I'm not sure if he exists in this timeline. How about my Speed Racer shirt? Nah, too French, and we hate the French. Where's that Japan? The scarf always throws me off. Wee wee, little monkey. No, wait. I got it. My gimp suit. Oh, and this cape. Super gimpy. I just need to zip this up. Holy balls, my nipple.
Oh, wow.
Holy nipples, my balls.
Wow. That's fantastic. You need to write a book. That's what I say. Write a book and have it be these things.
Who wears a gimp suit to a race?
Nobody. That's who. Randy by the baby. Hello, 70 points, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. This week on Film Sack, we finally found the perfect metaphor for what we do here at Frog Pants Studios. Despite the fact that we're all in fierce competition with each other, we inexplicably come together every so often, making the whole thing moot. Who am I kidding? We just want to get naked.
Oh. See, it didn't
except
do the 2000.
Except for this glove.
You didn't do the 2000 flushers. Is that for later?
That's later. That's
later. Oh, okay. Oh my never mind. Never
this
mind.
This is the sound of my head hitting the desk.
Finally, with us, Brian Frankenstein, a good friend of mine, Ibbot.
Greetings, sports fans. We've got a real doozy for you today. Just arriving at the starting line is Randy Deluxe in the Chorizo Buster, which runs on tacos. Next up to the starting line is Brian Dunaway in the Slimatron, a car that seems to be getting thinner and lighter by the second. Pulling up in third position is Scott Johnson, who'll be driving the Squirreeny, well, whatever that thing's called. And last up to the starting line is Brian Ibbot, who looks like one very large baked potato. Today's race is sponsored by SleepX. Remember SleepX for when you only need to sleep for 30 minutes.
That was weird.
That was really weird.
Weary.
Yeah, I may as well play that one. Nicely done. Way to call back so many things.
Yeah.
Like chorizos and tacos. Amazing. Hey, it's the movie Death Race 2000, everybody. If you're listening to the show here, I assume you are. You wouldn't be hearing this. Death Race 2000. This is a Paul Bartel directed, produced, Harvey Korman. The other Korman.
Roger Korman.
I always get those guys mixed up. One's funny and one isn't, but I still get them mixed up.
Korman.
Yeah, the shitty Korman. He's behind this. It's Death Race 2000. There's been two sequels to this since, or kind of a reboot and then a sequel to that. Jason Statham thing and then another one with a guy I don't know. But we're gonna let Scott Fletcher explain what the first one's about, and that's this right here.
Death Race 2000. Paul Bartel, who directed Cannonball, directs this sci-fi cult classic about the deadly and brutal transcontinental road race, in which rivaling teams travel across America, scoring points by offing innocent people. For a movie this good, You'd think the description would be longer.
We would, right? Kind of just ends right there.
It doesn't need much description.
Holy cow. I just looked because I'd forgotten about the remakes, the reboot. Yeah. You know who's in the sequel? Besides the main guy that you've never heard of, Luke Goss.
No.
The woman sidekick is Lauren Cohan, who was in The Walking Dead as Maggie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love her.
Sean Bean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Does he die? He probably does.
I'm going to say he dies.
Ving Rhames.
Wow. This is
Look at all these people.
And Danny Trejo.
Okay. I'm in.
And why the hell have we not watched it?
Oh, dude. Badass himself.
Yes.
I would watch this. I liked the first one with the. Yeah. What's his name? I thought the Statham one was good. It was all right. These are both by written by Paul W.S. Anderson, the first one directed by him.
Right, right.
And so you know what you're getting there pretty much. So, yeah, I don't know. I do like the Maggie girl. Is it Lauren Cohan?
Cohan, yeah.
Yeah, I like her.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Yeah.
It's creepy. The governor.
Yeah, the governor doesn't like her much. Anyway, it's your movie here with David Carradine. This is the old cast. David Carradine, Sylvester Stallone.
I had forgotten he was in this.
Simone Griffith. I wonder if she's related to the other Griffith because she reminded me her a bit.
Brian Griffith?
No, Melanie Griffith. Brian Griffith.
Peter Griffith.
Brian Griffith.
and a bunch of other people you've never heard of before, but chances are you've seen a lot of these people do other things. I noticed B-rated. A lot of faces. Yeah, B-roll crap, B-movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Pretty much up and down. There's some nudity, some jokes, and some good times.
There's a lot of nudity.
Yeah.
A lot of boobies and a lot of dudes' butts.
But a lot of awkward, kind of dumb 70s nudity. You know what I mean?
Right.
There's a difference, right? Like, it's not filmed in a very erotic way. None of it's done to titillate. It's just like,
titillate.
If you haven't watched the movie, here's the definition of 70s nudity that Scott's going for.
Yeah.
People all get together in an inexplicably large room to get massages side by side on massage tables that are only not far enough apart for somebody to actually work in between comfortably. And they're talking while they're getting a massage. Rather than closing their eyes and dozing while they get a massage, they're talking.
The
reason they're talking, so every now and then a woman can get offended and sit up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Because you can't just argue with somebody while you're laying on your face.
No.
You got to sit up and flap your tits around.
Wow. Yes, you do have to do that occasionally. So I find that stuff interesting. To me, it's like the movie is trying to forcibly... pretend there are no barriers, like there is no awkwardness there, and they're trying to say, hey, look in this weird future where nobody cares if they're naked. And it reminds me of another movie we've done, the name just escaped me.
Frogs?
No, the future one where they're killing the bugs.
Zardoz?
You're talking about Starship Troopers.
Yeah, they got the co-ed bathroom where nobody, or the showers where nobody acts like anybody's
naked. Showers
making.
Together. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, very similar in the massage scene.
I'm gonna call that a trope because I don't think there's been a time. There may be spot examples where this works somehow or something in history, but you're always going to be a little uncomfortable. So movie's trying to say,
especially
no, look at this, it's the future,
alone.
Man. Yeah, well, of course you are.
Who wants to be naked next to Sly? You know,
nobody. Nobody does. Yeah,
certainly not Gopher.
No.
the John Hodgman lookalike dude who was riding with the German gal was Gopher from Love Boat.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly. Who that was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Herman the German.
He's Herman. Everybody Herman loves Herman.
Herman the German, yes.
All right. So
Herman takes
instead of Gopher forward. The Gopher. Yeah.
This is
Gopher was one of my favorite characters from Love Boat.
This is new for everybody, right? Nobody's seen this movie until now?
Oh, no. I've seen it before, but only like halfway watching it, not sitting down and going, hey, let's seriously think about a film study on this movie. No.
Okay. So, I've never seen it. I've seen faces or bits or maybe pieces, but never the whole movie. Randy, have you seen it?
No way. I would have remembered. Like the very first thing I watching this movie, I'm like, whoa, there's a Nazi flag. I would have remembered that.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind. The way that affected me when I first, the very first shot of a Nazi flag in the grandstand, which, by the way, why do you have a grandstand for a road race? Yeah. What?
I don't know. Why you got the Pope of racing out there? I don't know. I don't know.
Totally have you weird. Seen pod racers?
True.
They
have Nazi racers.
They keep passing by the grandstand, though, over and over.
And they end there. That's the finish line, too. But this is...
In this case, the finish line was a government building out here in Laguna Niguel that I hate because the Department of Immigration and Customs Enforcement is there, and it's awful.
Hmm. Is it everything there like matte painted in the background like it was in this?
No, I was amazed that it existed in 1975. I was really surprised because it just doesn't seem like the building's that old. But in 1975, the building looks so new and different and futuristic.
Well, I'm glad that the Nazis come back around again. I'm glad that become.
Well, isn't it? I got the feeling, and I could never tell for sure about this, but didn't it feel like maybe this was just an alternate history where maybe the Germans won World War II and that's kind of how things carried out? Or was this just saying things collapsed at some point and we went ahead and picked up Nazism as our new
way? You know, I'm not sure how far they went in their minds of how serious they were being when they were writing this script. But, you know, the flag itself, Nazis kind of took that over and said, hey, we're going to take this flag. And so now we all know it's a symbol of hate. But it wasn't originally a symbol.
Indian thing of the four positions of the Little Dipper, the Big Dipper. Or something.
Right. Is the reverse version of that some Jewish symbol or something? None of us speak with any authority, I don't think, on this, but I think there's a couple of them. Yeah,
we all hate Nazis just as much as you do. I'm just not sure how, because this had a lot of, it was wanting to make some kind of statement, but I don't know what that statement was other than tits. I don't know where they were going.
Yeah, they kind of didn't really go anywhere. But I do like your mention of this, which is the racing Pope of murder racing.
Right,
I love in dystopic movies, whether they be something new like the Hunger Games stuff or something old like this or the ultimate whatever. These movies that are set in the future and things are a little bit off. I always like the religious icon character.
Yeah,
they do this in Game of Thrones for that matter. There's these septum dudes. Who are
they have sinus problems?
Well, they're complete.
Do they deviate?
What are they called? They're called what do they call them? They run the septum or the septs or whatever they call their churches, the temple things in Game of Thrones. Right, but the name of the guys are Maester or whatever, right?
Okay, gotcha.
Maester Lewin, Maester whatever, and some of them are nice. They're like priests and kind of whatever. But the ones in the big city, the high up ones, are as corrupt as freaking dirt, man. Just the most corrupt, horrible guys ever. And I love the popification in movies. There's no offense to any of my Catholic friends, and I have a few out there. I'm just saying evil popes are great in movies.
Oh, yeah.
All right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
In movies, they're great. In real life, I don't think they're good.
I think it's what's lacking on The Amazing Race. I think that they actually need
an evil pope.
An evil pope, a corrupt pope.
That would kick things off, wave the starting flag to kick everybody out, fire the starting gun.
You have been eliminated from the race.
they specifically need to get rid of the people who run Amazing Race. I'm tired of those guys. And replace them with Stanley Tucci.
Right.
And what's the other guy?
I don't know. You're turning into me. Squeery.
Are you talking about
Hunger Games?
Oh,
Stanley Tucci is the interviewer guy. He's like the man with the microphone.
And it's Toby Jones.
Toby Jones.
Toby Jones. Right, right. Toby Jones. It's Arnim Zola from Captain America.
Yes.
And Truman Capote from some Truman Capote movie.
Oh, that guy. Toby Jones. Yeah. He was Deep Impact to Armageddon when it came to the Capote movies. Do you remember that?
Yes, that's right.
Because the big
Philip Seymour Hoffman was the other one. Yeah,
and that just eclipsed it.
In Cold Blood, or what was it?
What
were they called? One of them was Capote.
That was the one with Hoffman. That was Capote. Right. I just watched that again. And then the other one was called In Cold Blood. I think you're right. That was the name of his book. Mm-hmm. And I heard that was really, really good. But it was one of those movies, same year, same subject matter, basically, or same character study anyway. And it just got eclipsed by the marketing muscle of the Hoffman deal. Mm-hmm. I love that when that happens. What is do we have that this year yet? What is the big, oh no, and we made two of these in the same year movie this year?
The Cameron Diaz thing. Anything with Cameron Diaz. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh.
The funniest Diaz movies.
The funniest comedy since Bridesmaids. Come on.
Don't do that. What are you doing?
Also, I could have swore I Dream of Jeannie was Miss Pander. I did not know that was. Yeah, I could have. Joyce Jameson was.
Hold on. The one that was rolling with Sly Stallone? That one?
No. The reporter who kept saying, my best friend.
Oh.
I could have swore that was Barbara Eden for some reason.
Oh, no.
She wouldn't have anything to do with this schmuck of a movie.
Oh, yeah, because she's got high standards.
Well, you make a good point. What does she really do after I Dream of Jeannie? You know, she's got talent.
Wait. It just dawned on me. Aren't there two Hercules movies coming out this year?
There is one. So. There's The Rock. And then, is there another one?
Hold on.
Oh, I hope so.
Okay, so there's...
That could be it, Brian, or Randy, that could be it.
Dueling Hercules movies.
Hercules.
Dwayne Johnson's in one.
Yep.
Here's the other one.
I love these.
The other one is called The Legend of Hercules.
The Legend of Hercules. Yeah, it's coming out this year.
No way.
It's a Rennie Harlan joint, so you know it's going to be good.
Oh, it'll be
Rennie
quality.
Rennie Harlan.
It'll be huge quality.
Kellen Lutz. What's that? Yeah, Kellen Lutz.
Deep Blue Sea. He did Deep Blue Sea. Rennie Harlan.
Ah. Yeah, well, I was thinking of the one with Gina Davis. Well, he did Gina Davis too.
Yeah. They're not together
he's
anymore.
Responsible for, oh, no. He's responsible for Cutthroat Island.
That's the movie that I was trying to remember.
Arguably the biggest bomb of all time.
And possibly the one that broke him up, those two.
I wonder which Hercules movie's going to win.
Remember him and Costner were buddies for a long time and were doing all kinds of work together. Yeah. I think, didn't Rennie Harlan direct Waterworld? He might have. No. Is that somebody else?
He directed Deep Blue Sea and Cliffhanger.
I'm thinking it's Robin Hood that he did. I'm pretty sure that was him. Anyway, those two don't talk anymore either. Nobody's talking to Rennie Harlan anymore.
No.
I think we've seen like at least two of his movies because he's responsible for The Adventures of Ford Fairlane.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's unfortunate.
not as director, though.
Really?
I'm sorry. No, he did direct that. But I'm saying, I'm looking through his other thing. We haven't seen Nightmare on Elm Street 4, but we should.
Okay.
Which Die Hard 2. Die Hard Cliffhanger, 2. We have to see for this because, you know, John Lithgow's a bad guy and then completes the trifecta or the prophecy.
Right.
The Long Kiss Goodnight, Deep Blue Sea, Driven, Exorcist the Beginning. Did we see that?
No.
Okay.
No, we saw
04. It's relatively new.
Yeah.
We could see that, though.
Could see that.
I could have sworn.
And if we wait, a few months, The Legend of Hercules.
All right, brilliant. That'll be
straight
the newest.
To DVD. Yeah.
Anyway, back to this movie here. Here's some trivia for you. The role of Frankenstein was originally offered to Peter Fonda. That kind of makes sense in a weird sort of casting way. It looks sort of like Peter Fonda,
right?
Who considered the movie too ridiculous for words. Not just too.
I think his exact words were.
How ridiculous is this? I don't have words for it. The cars don't run most of the time that were used in this movie, so they had to be pushed down hills in order to get momentum.
No kidding. You mean from the exterior shots where nobody's hair was even moving?
Yeah, it was pretty bad. Moreover, the cameras used to film the cars were undercranked in order to perpetuate the illusion that they were moving faster.
You mean the coming out of the back cave?
Yeah. Pretty bad. That stuff looks real bad. Sylvester Stallone wrote some of his own dialogue. Again, don't feel all that surprised.
None of these things are surprising. You know, is this true?
He didn't tell anybody. He just rewrote it.
He had some sweet Chef Boyardee 70s era blood effects on his face. Did you notice that?
That's some good marinara.
We have some crab sauce.
Yeah.
Anyway, I felt like his role, I mean, this is obviously before he mattered too much. This is, when was Rocky? Rocky was like a couple
not
years.
Not long after this.
A couple years later, yeah.
Couple
this,
years
is,
later.
This is 75, so what's that, like 78?
1 year later, Rocky was 76.
So that means he probably was just paying bills and had his head and heart deep into making that movie.
I don't care what you say. Stallone loves movies.
Sure.
He will, and I don't think he just does anything. I think he just likes doing stuff.
He's bad in this, though. This is real bad.
Yeah.
Then again, nobody's great.
But it was enjoyable to watch him.
Carradine's maybe okay. Part of it. Well, a lot of it's bad.
Why? When do you bring a Carradine in and have a fight scene, by the way, set to the worst 70s fight music ever? And then, exactly. And then you don't let him use his kung fu.
Yeah. Because he was trying to get out of the typecasting. So I was reading some more about that. And he took the job. A lot of people said he shouldn't take it, that this was crap. You shouldn't do it. This movie's going to haunt you your whole career. And he said he took it because up till then everyone thought he was actually Chinese, which is a whole nother, you know, stereotype problem, just eating itself. Right. And then he wanted to get away from that genre, away from the kung fu stuff, away from any association to like martial arts or any of the stuff. He just wanted to straight up be a guy in a movie where he could be something totally different. And he thinks the movie succeeded in doing that
still,
for him.
Still, absolutely. There was a time while you're watching this movie where you're like, I wonder if I'm going to get to see the dream fight between Kwai Chang Kane and Rocky.
Well,
you're going to get to see something, but it's not a dream fight by any stretch.
Yeah. David Carradine, of course, died in 2009 under spurious circumstances. It was that hanging from a rope with his wiener out.
Oh, yeah. The erotic asphyxiation.
Yeah. Yep. Which is... it's the In Excess dude died that way.
Yeah, Michael Hutchence. Right. Yeah,
I went down a bad rabbit hole after I remembered this, and I said, I wonder if any other famous people.
What if there's a list? Is there a BuzzFeed list of who died from erotic asphyxiation?
Famous deaths.
I hate to bring that up because it's kind of a sad story, but kind of. We got to talk to Bodie. I don't know if you remember him, but he was an artist during the 70s, and we got to talk to his son.
Yeah,
and he was actually he remembered his father. dying
his dad
from that.
Did it?
Yeah. So, I mean, up until that point, I had made lots of jokes about that kind of stuff.
No.
But, man, when it got down to a real personal level and I talked to him, I was like, oh, wow, that really just it hurt me inside.
Well, you start going through some of these names, you'd just be surprised. So you got David Carradine, right. Albert, some guy named Albert Decker was some political dude and actor. And this happened in 68, long ago as that. Hyde, singer-songwriter Hyde. I don't know who that is.
No. H-Y-D-E.
You kept saying it like I was going to. I was like keeps
that's
going
to make any difference to me.
Journalist Stephen Milligan. I'm trying to find some ones that matter here. Kevin Gilbert. Don't know who that is.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
this is no news way. To Ibbitt. I knew he died. So he was a member of Sheryl Crow's Tuesday Night Music Club, and he also had a band called Toy Matinee. Mm, right. Really, really talented writer, performer. I've got all his albums along with his group albums. And that's, I knew he died in like 2007, 2008, but I had no idea it was from that. Actually earlier than that, like
2096. This says,
oh God, really that early. Jeez. Yeah.
So who knows now for anybody at home thinks this is a new problem. Something that's just going on now.
No,
a thing of our day. Check this guy out. Frantisk Kawatawari. Pretty sure I got that wrong. But anyway, he was a famous writer of music. He wrote a song called The Battle of Prague, which is a favorite song of Mark Twain's. Anyway, he died 1791 doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So don't think
now,
it's
see,
yeah.
That was not accepted back then, I bet.
No. I bet it was just confusing. Like, he probably walked in and went, I don't know what happened here.
You got to wonder how many, I don't know, man. I think if you wanted to kill somebody, I think if you did that, I mean, I don't think anybody even question it. They would just, I think people would be so nervous around.
Even like stage a murder. Stage
something
to make it look like that.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, people would totally, they'd be so freaked out about it. They would never even question it. They wouldn't even want to look
so
at
it
directly.
I'm going
to
throw this out there right now in case something ever happens to me and I become popular or famous.
Right.
And you ever discover, and somebody discovers my body like that.
Yeah.
Here it is. Right. It's staged. Right. Whatever.
I was killed. I was murdered. Listen to me now.
Right?
Exactly.
I didn't do this. I'm going to pin every time I do something weird, I'm going to pin a note to myself that says, wasn't me.
Yeah. I have a prediction. This show is going to be beloved by those people that really liked our off conversation on the elevators. Yeah. People are going to really like this.
So while we're talking about autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that.
Oh, okay.
Just,
all right. Don't really have an end point.
For those of you just tuning in.
Yeah.
What like, weird as thing you would do, you right? not want to be discovered that you died doing?
Right.
Around the table.
One of these days we're going to have a radio stream on frogpants.com. It's going to be like channels and you just flip around and you get a show.
Yeah.
You're just going to be tuning in to the middle of this film sack. Oh, autoerotic asphyxiation.
That's
we
a terrible
about
time. Terrible time to tune in.
Can we go back to Sylvester Stallone for a second?
Yeah, of course.
This is probably the closest that he ever comes in his, the career that I'm looking at in IMDb to being a bad guy. Like there, I cannot think of any other movie where he does not play the.
What about Cobra?
Hero.
Mm-hmm. He's totally bad.
Well, he's the bad guy in Cobra. Badass. But guy in Cobra?
Yeah.
No, he's just a cop on the edge.
How about Copland? He's kind of dirty.
He goes after people worse than him, doesn't he?
How about Get Carter? Was he bad in that?
No.
You know what? I'm going to go with you on this one. I think this is as close to bad guy. And he was kind of a bad guy. He was kind of terrible. He was.
How about you felt like he was a bad guy and Stop Our Mama Shoot? Because you felt like he fooled you into going to see that movie.
Why do I always get that confused with Throw Mama from the Train? I can't help it.
That's Billy Crystal. You're not even close. And Danny DeVito.
Not even close.
Owen doesn't have a friend.
I love that woman.
Owen, get me some water with some ice.
Oh, I've got it. Well, and I realize, by the way, Stallone has said that he tried to make a career on always playing the good guy, but he was the bad guy in Spy Kids 3.
Oh.
Owen doesn't have a friend.
Right. But that's so contrived to be the, you know, like.
Yes, sure.
Yes.
I'm just saying he was the bad guy.
Good call.
Yeah.
I glazed right over that one. All right.
Well, that's okay because that movie deserves glazing, if you know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you mean.
I don't either. So that opening title graphic, I was really glad somebody went back in time and took my old desk from 7th grade junior high English class and used the image directly from that. That was great.
I need some more colored pencils for the title of this movie.
That looked really terrible.
But that was actually my favorite part of the whole movie because I'm like, I didn't think that was something that we realized we were doing until after that time period? Did they go back in and put that in, or was that released with the original movie? Because if it was released with the original movie,
no, that's part of the movie. That's in the we don't have no special edition here. This is it.
It's definitely
it's not the director's cut.
This was the best.
That's awesome.
This was the best version of this movie.
This is the best version we have.
It's crazy to think what we saw was the best version.
Are there other versions of this?
No, that's what I'm getting at.
There is some uncut thing floating around. I just saw some comments in IMDb that there's an uncut version where there's way more
totally
blood.
Not circumcised.
Well, there's more guts. They show there's more nudity. When they run over people's heads with those cars, it's not such a quick jump away, edit away. You actually get to linger on the gore a bit.
The favorite death.
The gore was not even, was embarrassingly bad.
Really, really bad. But if I had a favorite death, Dunaway, that's a good question. I think I'm going to go with the guy that yelled Jesus Chrysler as loud as he could.
That's pretty good.
And then got hit with a spike. That was all right.
Oh, yeah. All you can get is working on the car, working on Calamity Jane's car, and gets run over while he's doing that.
Yeah, that one was good.
That was good. My favorite was old biker dude from the prison who jumped in the hole too late, and they'd already covered their hole up.
That was great. Yes.
Right.
I forgot about that. He turned around and then leaped in the air. Who does that? Nobody did that ever. I was almost angry at that part. I was like, come on. I understand what you're trying to do here, but that's so stupid.
Let's come back to the whole concept, though, because I was really taken aback by the fact that you're watching this movie the first time in 2014 and you realize that they are talking about the source for this thing that you used to hear when you got in a car as a teenager and other teenagers would say, they'd point at somebody on the street and say 15 points.
Mm-hmm. Right, right, right.
And you had no idea where that came from. So like every teenager, you thought your generation made it up.
Nope.
Yeah. Right.
And here is the source.
Exactly.
And it was so ham-fisted. It wasn't actually that entertaining at all.
No, but we've used that joke.
It could have been done so much, you know, for something that was kind of tongue-in-cheek horror parody.
Yeah.
They could have had so much more fun with that. Even the stuff that comes up when you're a teenager. Oh, wheelchair has an extra 25, you know.
I did that all the time. Five old people are worth five.
Yeah,
we did that in the car. It was
were you
terrible,
taken aback a little bit when you realized this was the movie?
Yeah, I didn't realize that this, because I had never seen it, so I didn't even know where I got it from. And I'm pretty sure I got it because somebody else said it who probably saw this movie.
Right.
And now I feel a little dirty.
Nah, I knew it from back in the day, and I told my girlfriend the same thing. I was like, yeah, you know the point system we do? Yeah, we do that from this movie. So then she sat down and watched it with me. About halfway through, she said, I'm out.
I even did this the other. I was like maybe 2 weeks ago. We're in a Walmart parking lot. There's a really, really old person with a walker crossing, kind of where we need to go. Kim's driving, and I lean over and go, "Honey, 20 points, 20 points, get him." That was just a couple of weeks ago.
And so she goes, rum, rum.
She didn't do any of that. She punched me in the ribs, I believe, is what happened. Did you guys have a bunch of hitch in the sound? I'm just curious, real quick.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, it wasn't just me.
Okay.
All right. I'm glad
we would just gap out, right?
I thought it was just me, and I thought, oh no, what's happening? And I thought I had some other technical issue, but I guess it was Netflix.
It's funny because I was using one of the best new features of the PlayStation 4, which is to plug in a set of headphones into the controller itself and have a remote audio thing. So you don't need to wake anybody up. You don't need to have the volume cranked.
Yep.
It's awesome.
It's
and,
good.
And
it
I was
sounds great.
It was,
that's the thing you worry is it was going to sound like poo, but it sounds really great. Good.
That's what they need to add. You know what? Amazon, make that the next version of the Amazon Fire. Plug a little, have a little headphone port in the
remote.
In the remote. Perfect.
Yeah. Then you'll never lose the remote because it's always connected to a headphone thing.
Exactly.
See? Jeff Bezos.
I just want to preface this for the audience because I sometimes get claims, and I'm not making claims. I'm just guessing here, but I figure for the bottom 10,000 films on Netflix, they don't give a crap. Like, they could have a transfer that's not synced. They could have it filtered in all the wrong colors. Bottom 10,000 films, they don't care. They put that thing out there.
And
it's just, it's just out there, and they're done with it. Like, it is – I have only ever come across one movie in Netflix that had errors where they fixed it. And that was the Cameron Crowe movie, Elizabethtown. I would look at it every now and then because I really liked that movie for some reason. I think I really liked the soundtrack. And it had sound problems and it was frustrating me. And they fixed it.
I think that's Death Race actually is not in the bottom percent, though. I would think that's probably pretty well up there. I mean, if I've got Netflix, I might look for Death Race 2000.
Yeah.
But it's never suggested. Like, that's the... I have never seen this movie suggested.
No, I've never seen it on even on our suggested list where it's based on our crappy viewing because we have this film sack problem. It didn't even show up there for me.
Interesting.
Yeah, I made a film sack profile as soon as profiles came out, and all I've done is watch these movies on it and rate them badly.
Oh, that's smart.
Do that.
Yeah.
You're wise to do that. Nice job.
Oh
no, seriously, because I should have done that and I haven't yet. I just have been too lazy to do it, so it's all on my main account that everyone uses, and all my ratings are jacked up. Everything's jacked up.
Yeah, that's why Randy's smart.
Yeah.
It's so fun nowadays to suggest movies to these guys. I email you guys every now and then. I'm like, here's five movies we should watch on FilmSack. And Scott's all, what?
Yeah.
it's just fun.
It comes from somewhere.
Netflix is really good after you teach it something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm looking forward to, a future in the far-flung future where cameramen have to have big, giant white backpacks to get anything
done.
Yeah.
Those are cool.
Yeah.
I like the technology somewhat. It was...
Really?
It was great. Yeah.
It was bad. Bad.
It was bad, but I kind of liked it. I thought it was kind of
like
fitting.
How the French destroyed the phone system.
I was curious about that. I want to know more.
Yeah.
I want to know what the French did to ruin the phone system.
But I mean, as a writer of a science fiction thing, couldn't you have thought that maybe in the future computers would have more to do with things and you could have been a little more general like other things before you have and just say, you know, sure, blame the French and say the French destroyed our computer network.
French robot uprising.
Yes, whatever. Anything but phone system.
I think there was a little bit of blowback a little bit during the 70s with robots and that kind of thing. I don't think people were in love with computers just yet. That was more like us. That was us nerd people. These were cool people.
Star Wars. So Trek was on the decline. You're right. 75 Trek was kind of looked at as, okay, well, that was a thing and no one cares now. And they couldn't get a new series started or anything like that. And Star Wars had yet to be.
Right.
So I think it was all about to swing back again. But
it was
going to be this dearth of like this kind of movie. I was trying to think of some others that were of a similar timing. And there's a lot. There's a lot of schlocky business. In 75, 74, 75, that we all need to watch.
I think it was a good time.
So. Yeah, I realized when I immediately started thinking about Rollerball, this movie, I realized we should just watch a year, like in 2015, we will only watch movies that are exactly 40 years old.
Because right.
Anything like I don't even know how we could go wrong.
Yeah.
Surely everything in 1975 is this bad.
Yeah.
And this is inexplicably tied to Rollerball too, so that's... Almost a lot about it is
very connected. Yeah. Very much of that ilk. And they also, what was the other one we saw that totally reminded me of this? Oh, the other Corman thing, the Toxic Avenger.
Oh.
These all just have the same stink on it.
Is that Corman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was totally
trauma.
Corman. Wasn't
it? And by
trauma.
The way,
yeah.
By the way,
I had Corman, didn't they?
Yeah. I thought he directed for him. No,
I want to make absolutely sure that we say and agree. Cause I think we all agree when we reference other movies that this reminds us of, like Hunger Games, like Road Warrior, Running Man. Running Man kept coming up when I was watching.
Yeah. Yep,
we're not saying those all have the same stink.
Right.
They just have the same shtick. That's different.
They're very shticky, is what I would like to say about that. Yeah, I'm looking here. He was, Corman. Oh, no. Maybe you guys are right about the...
I don't remember doing anything with Trauma. Trauma was kind of like very small by the time Corman was...
Always small. Lloyd Kaufman never made a movie that went anywhere.
Did you see... Have you seen Corman's credits?
Certainly feels like Corman's a Corman movie.
He has 408 producer credits. It's all shit.
Absolutely.
But it's so much.
It's so much of it.
Holy crap. Every year there's like eight movies. In 87 alone, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,
Corman
9 movies.
Is a machine, man.
Exactly. He focuses on quantity.
We need to be watching more of these movies.
Movie that he makes is, well, not every, but most of the movies he makes are based on something else that's popular at the time.
Yeah.
Right.
You're right.
He's not out to make the big budget. He's out to make money.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't realize he was so in tight with Sci-Fi Network because it's like Scorpius Gigantus and Dino Croc versus Super Gator and Piranaconda.
Yeah.
Piranaconda.
He probably loses sleep at night that he wasn't somehow involved with Sharknado.
Oh, this is in post-production right now, but Sharktopus versus Mermantula.
Oh, he's right on it. He's like, oh, I got to do this.
Wait.
Half Ethel Merman, half tarantula. Mermantula.
Is that if it isn't Ethel Merman, then what is it? A merman and a tarantula mixed?
I don't know.
That makes no sense.
I'm Googling this.
Which
part has the cooch and which has the boots?
Here we go. Images for Mermantula.
I don't even want to know.
I don't even want to see this.
By the way, while you're looking that up, I got to say that this movie is an important movie because it reminded me that we should not do Minority Report for Nerdtacular because it's based on one joke about Brian Dunaway not liking it, and it's too good and serious otherwise.
What?
Well, maybe not good, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just nothing goofy to look at. Since we have to show video clips on stage in front of a live audience, we got to do a movie like this. I got through this halfway and went, why isn't this our film sack movie?
Right.
For that.
Yeah. Minority Report is kind of boring for the most part.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not going to be, it's good for discussion, but it's lousy for a stage thing. So we got to find, and I'm just fine if it's another Corman movie or a trauma movie, somebody, but we got to find something that just translates to wicked hilarity for video clips on stage on a big screen. That's what we got to do.
I agree.
We'll talk about that later, but anyway, a little business there.
Yeah, this was a movie that I wish I was watching with you guys because I think this would have been a blast.
No, I'd laugh my head off with you guys at this. Like, this would have been a good, what do you call it? It was the right length even for a good commentary track episode.
Oh, per 80 minutes. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, perfect, right on the money.
Yeah.
Let's see.
No photos yet of Mermantula, but there is a Piranaconda and Sharktopus. So. Right.
Well, I'm sure that's coming.
And Terracuda.
Terracuda. Can we stop doing this?
No,
it's
we cannot.
It's a dumb idea.
Yeah. Well, they've run out of animals to merge, and it's now animals and weather phenomenon.
Jordanaway is the new creature man. That's stupid to combine these. Just by combining them, it makes it cool.
You know what they're doing is they're giving the high ground to the Asylum, which is weird. Like, I just noticed that Atlantic Rim is streaming.
Yeah.
I think Pacific Rim's
ripoff. Yeah.
Right, Atlantic Rim. And I think it's on Hulu
Honey,
Plus.
Honey, I brought you home Atlantic Rim. Mm-hmm.
Shut up, Grandma.
It's the wrong one, Grandma. It was cheaper.
I think if you're looking for Atlantic Rim, I think it's Hulu Plus. I don't think it's Netflix, but I'm not certain about that. But I just got to thinking, like, looking through Asylum's recent films, they put out a movie a couple of years ago called Almighty Thor. Like, they're not doing this shark octopus thing. They're trying to nail down the mind share, what you already are familiar with, you know?
Yeah. To me, it started with Jurassic Park. They had an equivalent come out called, it was one about a giant chicken, dinosaur.
Cockzilla?
Chickasaurus.
Cockzilla or Chickasaurus.
Not the Asylum. They've only been around since like 99.
That may not be
them. They had Transmorphers, I remember.
Transmorphers.
Yeah. That was on Netflix for a while, too.
Robots in litigation.
Guilty.
Well done. That was very good.
Anyway.
That was really good.
So,
And it's not just one Transmorphers, either. They keep nailing out on another one. Like, there was Transmorphers, Fall of Man. I love that.
Oh, instead
gender
of Fall of...
Moon of the Dark.
I personally find great comfort in all these guys existing, that these weird offshoot ripoff movies exist, that there are actually people who go to the red box and grab the wrong one. That's great. That should never end.
It's not just that. When I first moved to Southern California, I went on to iTunes.
I thought you were going to say something like local dating group or something.
I went into iTunes to buy a movie because it was I was still moving and I only had like certain devices hooked up. And I wanted to watch a relatively new movie. And I accidentally purchased Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh, instead of Battlefield LA.
Battle of Los Angeles.
You know, I don't think you lost out.
In 2006, Asylum released Snakes on a Train, The Da Vinci Treasure. Pirates of Treasure Island.
Okay.
The 9/11. Let's see.
Who is the poor man Samuel Jackson for Snakes on a Train? I got to know that.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no kidding.
Who is let's that see. Guy?
It me. Is starring Julio Ruiz, Giovanni Bejarano, and Al Galvez.
We should pick one of those.
Al Galvez.
We should pick one of those, find out which one's the best, and watch it.
The thing that embarrasses me the most is that I watched Battle of Los Angeles 20 minutes at least before I started questioning it.
Wait a minute.
I was like, where is Aaron Eckhart? I thought he was in this movie.
A good 20 minutes.
Wow, that's great.
I really, like, I still to this day, I don't understand why I never finished it, because it wasn't actually that bad. I mean, it was bad,
right?
But it wasn't like Sharknado bad.
Right, but you were probably just pissed that you got duped, you know? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Now you know how grandma felt.
No, this is like, dude, I know what this is like. This is like when I was in China and I was looking for a PlayStation 2 controller, an extra one, and I heard they were real cheap down in the little district there where they sold these things. I go down there and I'm like, so is this real? Oh, very real. Very, very real.
Yes.
Okay, great. How much? Like $5 American. I'm like, are you kidding? Great. These are like $39 at home. Grab it, get it home. Said Sony on it, had all the undermarking stuff. Thing looked pristine. You'd swear it was a Sony controller. Plug that thing in. It even worked for about 30 seconds, and the left stick went clink and never worked again.
So love it.
It's like,
hey,
this. It's
$5
this,
worth of that's. You got what you.
As a kid, you kind of go, like, I remember as a kid, you get a knockoff of something. You'd think, oh, this is great. It's almost like the real thing. And there was some power in the knockoff.
I never.
Now it just angers me. It just makes me mad.
You know, my dad brought me home, and I expected it from grandma. My dad brought me home one time some knockoff G.I. Joe things, and they did their arms. You know, there's like how many points of articulation in G.I. Joe during the 80s? A lot.
Three per arm or something.
Yeah, this thing had like 2 points of articulation. You know what I mean? It was
in the whole thing. Good. Yeah. He turned his head and bent his waist, and that was it. Yeah. Yeah, see, that sucks, and that's not cool. That you would have gotten that. It's like kids with GoBots. Now, I think Ibbot liked GoBots, so I don't want to get
GoBots would be cool now.
Micronauts
is your thing. That was your gig. Your jig.
Oh, my God. I am so digging this list of Asylum films. Death Racers in 2008.
Okay. Oh, right.
Sunday School Musical.
Okay.
No, yeah.
The Day the Earth Stopped. 18-Year-Old Virgin.
Okay.
That doesn't seem that. Paranormal Entity.
Uh-huh. Is it animated?
I don't know. All right. They have a Titanic too.
Oh my gosh.
Sequel.
I've always been curious what happened. It was all underwater, right?
See. No, the whole thing, the whole movie is about people on lifeboats.
Really?
I'm just kidding. No, I have no idea.
Oh, that's a movie I'd see. I want to see that new, well, I don't even remember the name.
And
it's
they actually
have
their own Death Racers, yeah. Oh, Alan Quartermain and the Temple of Skulls.
Oh, you know, I love that. Well, is that Temple of Skulls? I haven't seen that one.
Whoa, Alan Quartermain's an actual license, though.
Yeah, it I've is. Seen nope. the actual Alan Quartermain stuff.
It's a lot easier for them to get than Indiana Jones. And the.
They always find the properties where they can, where it's so old that copyright's expired. Like, they've done at least one movie that starts with the title Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Like, so hold on. Alan Quartermain is that old? I didn't realize it was that old.
And it's on Netflix. This is actually a new one in 2008. Apparently
2008.
Rebooted.
What's it called?
Alan Quartermain and the Temple of Skulls. It's kind
of
like a reboot.
Temple of Skulls.
It's all take place in a refrigerator.
Temple of Doom. They took Temple of Doom and combined it. Oh, that's just the shit. I mean, what do they do with this company? I want to go there and like talk to the receptionist and just see what that place is like. Like, what are you guys doing?
Oh,
we're here thinking about how to rip off the Avengers. We've been working on that for a couple of weeks. Don't know what we're going to do yet, but
it's called the Revengers.
The Revengers, and
we're working on something new called Super America Man,
and the Incredible Bulk. He's here, and
Iron.
They just put out a ripoff of the new RoboCop called Android Cop.
Of course they did. I mean, you know, Black Widow could be Black Widower. It could be an old man whose his wife died. Like, I'm telling you, that would be a fascinating tour. Screw Universal Studios or, you know, Spielberg's Imagine Entertainment. I want to go over to that place.
You know, we complain as much as we want to about it, but honestly, it's bigger budget than some indie films, and, you know, it's... Yeah. I can be partially entertained by this crap.
You got to hand it to Sharknado. Asylum managed to get that thing cranked out in a reasonable amount of time. Like, if you gave me and everybody I know the project and a little money, I don't know how we would do it. And I watched this movie, and I'm just like, this really looks like freaking sharks flying at what's his name from Beverly Hills 90210. What is going on? Looks like sharks.
Best I could do is maybe like some plastic shark toys inside a 2-liter Coke and shake it up.
Yeah, that's the best you could do.
Can I give you one more? Because I'm just so perplexed by this.
Yeah,
they just put out a movie that is not a parody, but it's banking on the Liam Neeson movie Nonstop.
Mm-hmm,
so you know Nonstop, right? He's on a plane.
Saw it.
So action movie on a plane.
Yeah. Got it.
Can you? I don't know what else happens in that movie because I haven't seen it. But
spoiler, there's some revenge.
Well, their title of the movie is Airplane versus Volcano. And I have no idea.
That's crazy. That seems like a bad fight for the plane.
Yeah.
If you want my expert opinion on that, I think the plane loses in that fight. So back to this dumb movie here that we're watching. Is Joe Viterbo the worst name ever? Or is it just me that thinks that? Joe Viterbo.
Joe Viterbo.
And he's playing the mobster driver.
Mr. President Frankenstein is pretty bad.
Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. President Frankenstein. That was...
That and then saying from personal friends of mine after she says it.
Right.
Yeah, I think he wins, though, because he's actually Machine Gun Joe Viterbo.
Right.
Wow.
I really hate that. And he's wearing, like, mobster clothes from... You know,
yeah, from mobster from the 20s.
And he's even got a mobster helmet, like pinstriped.
Yeah. Brilliant.
he does. I was really digging the helmet art on some of this stuff.
It'd be fun to own some of that. They're real stupid. Right.
Well, I think Calamity Jane bedazzled hers, mm-hmm. which was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She had no pants on most of the show. Do you notice that?
Yeah, I did.
If those were shorts, they could not be shorter.
No, there was a lot of legs in this as well.
Yeah. She came with the legs. The bullfighter guy who died eventually, mm-hmm. he should have died the first time. It's right. not How like the car is a bull and doesn't know what it means to know where the guy's standing.
Oh, I know. I'm going to aim for the cape, not angered for the guy holding it.
Really angered me because all she's trying to do is get points. He's standing completely stationary, holding that out in front of her, and then moving the thing as she drives through it. Somehow she's confused that the cape confused her like a bull would.
It's a little bit of fan service.
It was piling hot bowl of shit is what it was.
Was there ever a time in the movie when a car was trying to run someone down that you genuinely believed that they would be surprised and run down?
No, I kept thinking, oh my gosh, the one guy who was in the creek who got chased by Joe.
Oh, the Fisher guy?
Yeah. Perverti or whatever his name was.
Joe Perverti. Yeah,
he was all like, he was safe in the stream. Why did he jump out and run?
That right?
was
I like Joe Perverti better than Joe Viterbo. Anyway, what, Randy?
I don't remember which it was early on in the movie. The couple that's driving the Mirage, the white car with the two long horns.
Yeah.
I think it was them. That's, I think it was them.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. I think they take out some construction workers.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the construction workers.
That was the beginning. That was Sylvester Stallone's car.
Okay. So he was driving the Corvette.
The jackhammer dude who stayed put and everybody else ran, right?
Yeah. Joe Perverti. Right.
Hey, this is what bugged me. Okay. This is a global event. Everyone's watching, listening on the radio. You know what cars are, generally speaking. You would think as they're approaching your town, you'd just go home.
Right. Who schedules what dick supervisor makes you go work on the road on death race day?
Right. Instead of like, you guys need to go repair that roof too. Why don't you do the roof today and the road when the death race finishes?
That's awesome.
I thought the same thing.
Like anybody's out doing anything, that picnic especially. It's just like,
when
I first saw it though, I was just like everybody, them, the fishermen, everyone else.
Right, right.
It's murder day. Don't anyone do anything.
Yeah. Have you seen The Purge?
You would think they'd just drive across the whole country and never see anybody. Yeah, and the points would keep going up. Okay, so it's now 1,500 points if somebody just hits a piece of grass because no points being gone.
Find a tin can.
Were you guys happy to see Nero, the hero, the coach, the evil coach from Karate Kid, get his early there?
Yeah.
Sweep the lake, Johnny. Yeah.
He was out quick.
I don't like him in anything I've ever seen him do.
He looks like a real douche, and it's okay. Yeah. So it was.
I understand. That's his entire credo. That's what he does. It's on his card. That's how he gets jobs in Hollywood. But he's so dislikable, no matter what he's doing.
He does a good job.
Yeah, I guess.
Did you guys wonder who the crap Sylvester Stallone was shooting at when he was at the beginning of the movie? Because shooting. Yeah.
It wasn't straight up in the air either. It was at the audience. Top of the grandstands,
And I was waiting for people to go, and then nobody died.
Yeah, that was weird.
Except my soul inside a little bit.
Yeah, whatever. Look, again, this is just padding his production costs for Rocky the next year, man. I'm telling you, I really feel like there is an energy in his face that says, I'm making movies, and here's the thing I'm doing, and this is part of this, and man, I'm just glad to be here doing this. I really got that vibe off him in this movie. Could Absolutely. Be wrong. He's got a much slower, like, F off everybody look to him now. Mm-hmm. Then he looked hungry. Like, he wanted to be the superstar he would have one day become, and he did.
That's the reason why he took this crap role and rewrote his dialogue. And you got to admit, his dialogue was kind of entertaining.
No, it wasn't. It was bad.
It was kind of
okay. Entertaining of the wrong reason, though. That it was entertaining.
I laughed every time he was on screen.
So Stallone?
Yeah.
Yes,
he said funny stuff.
I enjoyed his performance for what it was. I mean, like, in the context of this movie, he was pretty good.
Right. Right. You
know? So was Gopher.
Yeah, Gopher is all right for his brief time with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I wrote down "nice fur patch, dude," what did I mean?
Probably shirtless, but any guy that got shirtless.
Oh, I know what it was. I got it. It was Carradine when he got half his gimpy suit off.
Yeah.
And he had that giant fur thing growing out of his butt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, out of the back. Yeah.
Shave that. I don't have one of those, so I can't speak to it.
You don't?
But in a movie, shave it.
Every man needs one of those.
I don't have that.
Yeah. Every man. Oh, it's where all the testosterone goes to. God, you didn't know that?
I don't have it back there. What, am I weird? Because I don't have a hair. I don't have a single hair back there.
No,
it would
no
be pretty awesome,
man.
Though. It'd be pretty awesome if right in the middle of recording this show, Scott reached around and touched the small of his back and discovered a patch of fur for the first time.
Well, I'm doing it now, and there is no patch of fur. So
awesome.
I'm kind of a hairless creature. I understand.
You're hairless. Not See, that's the thing guy. About these movies. Did you guys notice? Let's talk about man bodies while we're talking about it. Did you guys notice that all the masseuse guys were pretty tough and buff except for one dude. One dude was like a little scrawny guy.
Yeah, but he was working her butt and stuff, man.
He was working it. He must have had a big something to make up for his lack of muscularness because
the one guy, his pecs were dancing as he was poking at her, right?
Right.
Oh yeah.
But then there's this little caved in chest guy.
Right. Because I don't know, maybe they ran out of bodybuilders that day and they said, I'll take my shirt off.
He's like an 11-year-old me.
He did.
Now, he reminded me of in Captain America when they show Chris Evans before he became Captain America.
Yes.
They
Captain
love to America show him without a shirt on and stuff.
Oh, you mean me at 11 then? Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
I got it. I really did look like that kid. It's really bad. Let's see. We got Evil Coach. We got Fur Patch. Oh, I like the Roadrunner Detour where the came out and put that thing up and then put up a fake tunnel hole.
Acmeed that one up, boy.
He did. And when she went through that and just said, oh, like she couldn't tell.
Right.
Give me a break. Come on, people. That kind of stuff killed me.
Were you guys hating all the car sound effects? All the car sound effects were terrible.
Wait, just because they were inaccurate or?
Yeah, just this weird, I don't know.
You know, future engine-y sounding.
I suppose, but it made me sad because, you know, like the green one was a Corvette.
Yeah.
And I just wanted it to sound like a Corvette. That would have been awesome.
I really like it to look like a Corvette again, though, too, because, man, defacing of such a classic car.
I felt like they didn't really deface the car as much as they put like a covering over it. And
none
like
of those things were, like, or
cardboard.
Like, they looked really bad.
Give props, though. They must have used solid steel because those things didn't wobble. They were stiff. You know, like the thing,
because they were only moving 5 miles an hour and they're speeding the camera up.
That's true. There was a lot of that.
That speed up camera stuff's the worst. And when that guy fishing was running from the car and they were both in high speed, you can kind of get away with it easier with the car, but the guy looked like Benny Hill, dude.
He's
going to bust into a room and find some nurse with her top off or something any minute now.
There was one car that was brown and it had squiggly lines all down it. And these ridiculous teeth coming out of the front. It's a Fiat Spider.
In
origin, but it's, I mean, nothing looks nothing like a Fiat Spider now in this movie. And the teeth coming out of it were these long, skinny cones. And I kept thinking, man, we're going to see one of those things wobbling around. It's going to be so funny. But no, they must have been made of I don't know. I can't figure it out. It was obviously fiberglass, but I don't know what they did to make it so stiff.
Hard or something. So, speaking of, hold on a second. Verturbo / Perverti, whatever you called him.
Right.
What was he driving? Does anyone know the origin of that car? Because I could not put my head. I could see just about everything else, but I couldn't tell what was under that.
Describe the car.
It was the black one, and he had the smoke coming out the back or the oil spill.
Oh,
and
that was also a Manta Mirage.
Oh, all right.
And that one was pretty well left. You know, like it had some things. Like they put machine guns on the front, right?
Yeah.
And a big, huge knife for no reason.
Yeah.
I love the knife.
Like a bayonet. Like
yes. Right.
But you're right. That car was left kind of relatively untouched, and maybe that's why it stood out, because it didn't look like they did much to it.
But right, look up the phrase Manta Mirage, and you'll see what I mean. The newer ones actually still kind of look like that. They've kept that wedge shape.
They even come with a formula racer.
Oh, weird. I'm seeing it now. Huh. That looks like it's made out of plastic. Are they? They're fiberglass?
Fiberglass, yeah.
All right. Yeah, that car is not.
It's not going to hold up in a, you accidentally use a fire hydrant as your partner.
A court of law.
Right. Well, you got it. You can say what you want to about this movie, but once again, the 70s proves that they were bad A when it comes to stunts, and they just did not care about the actors, because there was a lot of explosions close to cars.
Yeah, and I understand that trick, right, where you get the camera far away and you use a nice long lens to make it look like somebody's closer to something behind them than they really are. But in some of those shots, man, you could see their clothes being blown. That's a close explosion.
Totally. Mm.
So I'm looking this up. What was Stallone's car in Death Race? And this thing seems to think it was something... What'd they call this?
This is a Corvette. That was a Corvette, man.
Oh, yeah.
It was a relatively new one. It still had the notch back, like a 74.
You're right. Yep. That just struck me as real familiar at the time. I used to think those were rad. I don't so much now, you know? I feel like enough time has passed. I'm like, this stuff was kind of stupid.
Did you guys feel like, when you took your driver's test, did y'all kind of feel like Calamity Jane and you used that 3-point turn was going to eventually blow you up? You guys.
Right. She's missing the mind now. I don't know what the point, I guess just to build up suspense. But
right. It was killing me.
I thought she'd gotten away with it. I thought, she's missed it and she's going to end up with the dude at the end or something. And I kept thinking Annie or whatever, the covert grandma Jane. Daughter. Yeah.
Oh,
her.
No,
the one that was rolling with Frankenstein. I kept thinking she was going to turn the other way, like she was going to be a plant for the wrong side.
Rolling with Frankenstein. That had to be my band name sometime.
Rolling with Frankenstein.
I can't figure out what, but...
It's your Alice Cooper, right?
Yeah. There you go.
It's not bad.
There you go.
Hey, can we talk about the bad joke in the room?
Give it.
Hand grenade.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
That was really dumb.
Hand grenade. I did it.
Yeah, I set up the whole movie for this one joke.
Kind of felt that way, didn't
love.
I?
Love, yeah.
All right, well, let's roll into some clips. We got clips, man. They're just eking out of here. They're leaking out of my soundboard. So we're going to start with this one where I just titled it This Guy.
All right. This is Junior Bruce, your buddy and mine. And I'll be giving you the blow-by-blow, play-by-play when the kings and queens of the open road roar onto the track.
Kind of wanted Junior Bruce to die.
Yes, he's Junior Bruce is your buddy and mine, meaning his own buddy.
Yep, he is. He's definitely his own buddy.
Yeah.
Who's he supposed to be? I mean, isn't it supposed to be some reporter?
Just color commentary. The other guy was the Howard Cosell.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, he was definitely Howard Cosell. Yeah.
This guy was in Gremlins. I got to find out. He was rocking Ricky Rialto. So he almost always plays a radio host.
Right. He has a voice for it.
In Rock and Roll High School, he was Screaming Steve Stevens, Grand Theft Auto. He was Curly Q Brown. Actually, he was in that clip that I played last year at Nerdtacular as one of the video clips you had to guess with Ron Howard.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Same
really?
Guy. Yeah.
Oh, that's everything's coming together now.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah.
I just remembered it while listening to this announcer. It seems to me like it was explained to us that in this race, only one car can win.
Right, every year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you not get the impression when they were introducing people that they were introducing a lot of returning champions?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. How's that work?
They all seemed that way because I think that doesn't work. I think they screwed
up. Yeah, they even said because the point isn't to kill each other. It's not like the Hunger Games. It's like killing other people for points. It just happened that this year happened to be the first year that they all started killing each other, I guess. Okay. I thought about that same thing.
Bad writing is what that is.
It really was. Maybe call it Death Race.
Then I got a file here called This Lady. So we got this guy, now we got this lady.
My fans can wish me all the luck they want. My luck with my lovers gets any better, I'll miss the race completely.
Oh, my luck with my lovers.
Lovers.
She went on to do nothing but B movies for the rest of her life.
And Before, the same.
I think she died.
I'm
pretty sure
it eventually killed her.
Yeah, didn't take. Here's the mechanical arm joke. Here you go.
Is it true that with your new mechanical arm, you can shift gears in less than a 20th of a second? Would you care to comment on that?
I think they asked him just to fully do a parody of Howard Cosell and not,
right.
You know, mm-hmm.
Yeah, straight on. For sure. Yeah.
Did y'all feel like there was a little bit of love going on between him and Junior? Maybe a little bit of, you know what I'm saying? Kind of the very end there.
Junior Bruce, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah, he picks up Bruce Junior. Junior Bruce, he picks up his little scarf and he's all... He's smelling it and stuff.
Wistful.
Is that when he laughed like this? Yeah. I remember that. That was pretty hot. All right, stop blocking me.
Sit still, Cleopatra, and stop blocking me.
Was that Gopher?
No, that was Nero.
Mm. Oh, right. Oh,
yeah. Sit still, Cleopatra, and stop blocking me.
Oh, he's
stop
bad.
Blocking me.
He's really bad.
That's real bad. I knew he was going to die soon, though. Mm-hmm. I knew that was coming. I love the themes, though. It's like gangs. This is an extension of that old trope, right? Where
absolutely.
Everyone's a theme car. I love that.
Warriors.
I love it. What? Here, what?
Time of plenty in the fertile field of minority privilege.
What did that mean?
I don't know. I kept thinking of
explain that one.
Yeah. I think it was our. I think of minorities as how we think of when we put them in a.
What?
Still here?
The what?
Am I still here?
You're here. So wait, right. Hold on. Explain that again.
In the context of minorities, that's what we call people who are in the minority here in the United States.
Yeah, but we used to refer to it. It's like a racial thing, or like a
exactly.
Sure. But what do they mean?
I don't know because I was kind of offended when at the end he was all like David Carradine's character Frankenstein was all like, "We're going to abolish minority privileges." It's like, what?
It must mean just like only the rich get the city.
No. Back in the day, minority privilege was this concept that people actually talked about where in order to achieve civil rights, what you had to do is balance the scales the other direction from where they'd been previously. So you made special set-asides for minorities in all sorts of different ways in order to try to get to parity. So, minority.
That's what I thought. But right. why would you say that then? Why was this anti-minority privileges movie?
No, it's set in the future, so they were just trying to sound futuristic.
I hated it, man. Now I really hate it.
So confusing, yeah.
Now I really don't like it. All right, here's another one about a flag.
Pick up that flag, young man.
I just like that lady.
Pick it up.
Great. Pick up that flag. All right, I always like death sounds, and Death Race 2000 has some sounds in it, and I thought this was the best. Got run over or something.
Wow, that's a long time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to die that way.
Because if you tried on some of those scenes, there were hideous things happening to cool jazz music.
Yeah. Yes. All right, so was it a dirty kill, a messy kill? What kind of kill was it?
A neat kill!
Oh, yeah. A neat kill.
Oh, I was hoping you'd get that whole thing because he actually oversells the thing badly.
He kind of did. That's the only part I liked.
Right.
I wrote here, what the hell is that? Here you go.
What the hell was that?
Oh, that's literally what it says. I thought it meant I didn't know what the clip was. Great. And a great moment here.
Jesus Chrysler, get off the road!
So what do you think that's about? Like, I know it's a funny play on words, but it happened three or four times. So why?
I'm assuming that Chrysler took over the future.
Okay.
Best I can guess.
Just seems like a real bad idea. Here's Sylvester Stallone. What? Who? What?
We've heard the phrase Jesus Chrysler in a film sack movie before, right?
We have. I don't know.
Really?
Well, that I remember.
Thought we had.
Maybe we have. It does seem like a dumb thing to hear in a movie we've seen, but I can't think of when or why. So instead, I'll listen to Sly. Here you go.
Everybody knows he was blown up by the resistance, you schmuck.
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 I got a mouthful of clam sauce.
the clam sauce,
playing that music.
I don't think anybody with a thick Italian accent should use Yiddish.
Can you still get clam sauce? Is that a thing you can buy?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Is it come in copious amounts like that and enough to just throw a handful of it on somebody? Or what's the portion?
This was kind of like that.
No, I promise you, you go to the grocery store and look at all the Progresso cans, and one of them will say clam sauce. You just haven't noticed it.
I really haven't. I'm not a big clam guy, so I like me some, I like oysters occasionally, but I don't think that's the same. Or you don't put the same stuff on it.
How about clam chowder?
Chowder, yeah. Clam's good. Clam chowder, if it doesn't have dirt in it, the way Brian Dunn or Ibbett likes it. Ibbot likes his clam chowder with like a clod of dirt stirred in.
I don't prefer that. No, but I do prefer the white clam chowder over the Manhattan.
Right. I mean, the white one.
You can still get dirt in there too, because those are still clams.
Yeah. Yeah, it just depends. I honestly believe this is true. When somebody says, hey, come try our authentic New England clam chowder, the authentic part is, hey, we put dirt in it. There's dirt in here, so you're going to crunch on sand while you eat it, and it's going to be miserable. But don't worry, that makes it authentic. That's what
no,
I think is
going
on. No,
that should not be the case, no.
That's how it feels. All right, how about this one? I could listen to this guy all day.
Frankenstein, can you tell us when you're going to make your move? Are you going to take any off-road chances for scores, or are you driving all out to be first in the new L.A.?
Good Lord. Why don't you just give him three questions and don't let him answer any of them and then sort of answer it for him at the end. That's great.
By the way, Trope there.
Oh, Trope, what? Hold,
everything is Southern California. I mean everything. From one coast to the other, it's all Southern California, and it's really obvious. And like, so, you know, like New L.A., like Orange County, that building, really? That's New L.A.? All the way back up to L.A. proper. All they did was use these roads that are so clear. Like, they were out on Route 66 at one point, and they were calling it the Midwest. Like, and I mean, they were just north of Pasadena. Like,
some of that weird overcast, like fog stuff looked unique to, I thought that was like Pennsylvania or something, but you're saying that's all right there.
I got two words for Randy. Movie magic.
Yeah.
Though, boy, did they love Griffith Park, by the way. They were all over Griffith Park.
Oh, really?
Out here, yeah. And New L.A.
The observatories.
So I heard one time, okay, I could tell you guys a story. One time I'm hanging out with Dunaway, and he's in one of those green porta-potties at a concert.
Happens.
He's in there a long time. And I'm in second to get in, and there's a huge line forming behind me. I'm starting to get a little irritated, and I said, Brian. And then I said this.
Can you tell us when you're going to make your move?
All right. That's all
right. It's happening now.
I like these long roads to nowhere. All right, make love to me.
You want to make love to me because I drive the monster and wear this costume?
No, Mr. Frankenstein, but that wouldn't be fair to your navigator. It's taken her years of...
I don't know why I cut her off that way, but she, the fan club bugged me. I didn't like that.
Really? I kind of like the fanatic fan club. I thought it was kind of, it really kind of told a little story about who Frankenstein was.
And how cheap they are with their shirts by just putting an F on them for Frankenstein.
But Brian, if that's going to be any good, you got to tell that story. And they didn't.
Well, they did. He ran her over later.
Yeah.
He did. Because she loved him, right?
Like,
all the story I needed.
Yeah. I keep coming back to, what is this movie about? Like, I can tell you a story with Rollerball. Here's an actual metaphor for what happens when we get this corporate oligarchy, you know, and here I've got, I don't know, what's this movie about? I don't know.
Our worst fears, I think. And it's all about, it all goes back to the Colosseum. That's what it's all about, and how people would act modern day or even in the future with that kind of thing. So
right.
I mean, it was that story. It was flimsy. I didn't say it wasn't flimsy.
Yeah. Clearly flimsy. All right, Sylvester has words for that. Two words for you, okay? That's what he's got. Two words.
I got just two words to say about that.
Oh?
Bullshit!
Stop playing that violin!
That's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
All right, here's some good 70 sounds. Hey, somebody bring their Moog in. Let's see what we can do with it.
Somebody in the keyboard is going...
It's great. It's great.
More vibrato!
Yeah.
More spacey future sounds.
A line I can never take seriously in this movie or any other right here. Here you go.
When you see me again, Frankenstein will be my prisoner and the whole country will know we must be taken seriously.
Yeah, I can't take you seriously. Whee! You say things like, whee! Frankenstein will be my prisoner.
I know.
The radar in the background. Whee!
So dumb. It's time for the checklist. Copious amounts of 70s nudity, check.
Check. Mm-hmm.
Chef Boyardee blood, check. Yep. Notice. Death by exploding hand, check.
Dude. Everything explodes, check.
Checky check.
Yes.
I will bet you more than once an actor falling down dying was holding the can of blood, like the the from the grocery store can of tomato sauce.
Right.
Death Race also has some Star Trek connections, it turns out. Daryl scraped these up. We got Harry Wow Chuck. By the way, he's only going to do, unless the show has no actors in it at all, he'll only do a couple of them if they're like technical. but he's always looking for actor ones, which is good, I think. Harry Wowchuck did stunts. He did everything in Nemesis. Wowchuck.
Wowchuck.
Wowchuck. Bob Heron did stunts. He was also the double for Jeffrey Hunter in the Star Trek pilot, The Cage. I don't know if he's still with us or not. And then Ben Burtt, sound designer, designed the special effects sounds for 2009 Star Trek, the new movie, and or the second newest movie. Sound designer for the 6 Star Wars films previous to that. So good job to that man right there. And he must have got his teeth wet or his hair wet or his wick wet. What do you call it? Got his,
wet. His feet in the pool.
Feet in the pool. He got it on. He did it.
You just went through a lot of feet wet.
Got his feet wet. Thank you. That's it. Gosh. I couldn't think of it and it hurt, so I had to keep going. Soundtrack grave, I give it a P for poo. It was poo.
Awful.
It was bad.
Really bad.
Even for 70s, it really had no direction at all.
Best part was when they used some classical because they were all out of money or whatever, and that part of it was fine. That always seems to work for me, but the rest of it, bad. Let's sum it up in a Twitter post. 140 characters or less. Let's jump straight to Randy. Go.
Let's see if you've forgotten already. Death Race 2000. Flushes.
That's good. See, right. That was great. I didn't know how you were going to use it. That was really good.
We didn't know he was going to use it in a Twitter post.
No, it was I think I was supposed
That's
to know
exactly
that,
but, what I said I was going to do.
The way you did it was not expected. Nice job. All right.
So you're like Babe Ruth. You like pointed it out and
yeah, exactly, and then hit it.
the Babe Ruth of Twitter posts.
There you go. Brian Dunaway, go.
Death Race 2000, like running over the racing pope in your souped-up Corvette wearing a gimp suit. Wait, it was nothing like that. Creamed and reamed.
Wow. Nicely done, I think. All right. Finally, Brian Ibbett.
Death Race 2000, you'll wish it was Euthanasia Day.
Oh, nicely done. Just end it early, everybody. Oh, just handed this envelope. Hold on, it's right here. Hey, listen. You guys don't believe me? Right here.
Oh, there it is.
I'm doing my own Foley work now.
I heard it.
Alternate titles for this film. Let's end this thing with Naked Carradine in a car, which they did.
Mm-hmm. They totally did.
Or A Seventh Grader Drew Our Logo. And those are your alternate titles. Emails. We got an email here from Matt who wrote in, says, as somebody who currently lives in Sao Paulo, I can confirm that there are indeed some areas that do smell absolutely terrible.
So this came from Nothing But Trouble and all the references of how bad Sao Paulo smells.
Yep, lovely. And apparently it stinks. There is he says, there is talk about how they're going to correct this problem, but it can be real bad.
Out there with Febreze.
He says, I take this one train to work every day, and depending on the weather conditions, the smell could be just raw sewage, bad, nearby, or man, I really want to puke my guts out. The smell is so bad, bad.
Right.
I do want to emphasize this is not a citywide problem by any means, but in areas where it is bad, it is downright terrible. Keep on sacking on. Matt.
How does your town smell, Scott? Because my town, we have a processing plant here that processes pigs, Carolina Pride, and from occasionally it funks. It's really bad.
I spent time in the South near a paper
That's bad.
Paper mill. Real bad.
Oh, yeah, surprising. Terrible. I think you could say that about any place. I think you could say that there's, you know, parts of Orange County that smell really bad. There's parts of Arvada that smell really bad. Mm-hmm. So... You know,
there's
got to
be a part of Salt Lake. I just don't know where because they don't do a lot of factory stuff here. I'd have to look around. But
I'm sure there's a water treatment plant somewhere.
The mink there's a huge area that's still zoned for quiet. So the speed limits and things are all low and the roads are a lot further away from like actual homes or farms or anything.
Right, right.
It's a little more Utah County kind of south, but it's mink farms. And
mink farms.
Oh my lord. You've never inhaled anything until you've inhaled the refuse of the back end of about a million minks.
A million minks.
It stinks so bad, you guys. I can't even tell you. Like, you can be two towns away and it'll just overwhelm you.
There's poetry there with something about stinks and a million minks.
The stink of a million minks. Yeah. It's really, really bad. So, yeah, everywhere you go, it stinks. So take heart in that, Sao Paulo. Everything's fine. I think it's more of a preponderance of stink, like how much of Sao Paulo stinks. Versus how much of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what percent? Yeah.
Sure. Right. Can you get away from it is the question or not?
Speaking of neighborhood stinks, the Sriracha plant is coming to the end of its current location.
Wait, what's the Sriracha plant? What is that? Tell me.
So up here, East LA, there's the one plant where they make all the Sriracha. You know what sriracha is?
It's the Chinese or is it, well, Asian it's, sauce yeah, comes it's in a big plastic jar with yeah, a rooster
hot,
on it.
Hot sauce with a rooster.
That stuff.
Oh, oh that's okay. Sriracha. Yeah, you get them at like Ito's of Japan in the mall and things like mm-hmm. that in the bottle. Okay.
And
is it made out of chicken?
No, it's made out of red peppers okay. and vinegar and garlic and right. so forth.
Oh, the vinegar part's going to be the bad part. Anyway.
Yeah, and they've been calling it the Sriracha Wars because as their popularity and growth has happened, they've been making more and more sriracha in this plant, and they got to a point where they were starting to disturb the neighbors. And they got to a point where they were starting to hurt the neighbors. Like, people in this area were in pain, you know, like you'd been pepper sprayed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
And so they keep having the city of Irwindale come in and shut them down because they can't, you know, you can't have, can't you can't function. Be pepper spraying your neighbors. That's got to be illegal, right?
Yeah.
And so at some point they started looking to move, and that's when the politicians got involved.
Mm. Bitch, you're moving. We need your money, yeah. but we don't want your stink.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you can get a politician of one party to say, "Oh, we really want these guys to move," the other party gets to be the defenders, and it's ridiculous.
That sounds like a mess. But people must have their sriracha.
We need a bipartisan party like they had in this movie where it's just one party called the bipartisan party.
The sriracha party.
Yeah, the Sriracha-tarians, right?
Like it.
Where they eat nothing but sriracha? Or is it sirachi? Sriracha?
Sriracha.
All right. Did you know the Korean word for boobs is buracha? Did you know that?
Yeah. Boobies!
Know. Well, now you do.
I did not know that.
Well, all right then. That's it for that, everybody. Next movie, Some Like It Hot. We're dipping we're dipping back in the past.
Wow. Well, that's black and white, right?
No, it's color, isn't it? I think it's color. I think it was color.
It's color.
Everybody's in black and white on my TV.
I actually have this on Blu-ray. I can't wait to watch it.
Oh, no way. Blu-ray.
Yeah. Tina's a huge Marilyn Monroe fan. Mm. And so for her birthday this year, I got her every Marilyn Monroe movie on Blu-ray.
Every scene I'm being shown here on IMDb images search for that movie are all in black and white.
All black and white.
So,
what matters is what we see on Netflix, and I'm just double checking really quick to see if we're getting a colorized version.
It could be because I remember this.
Oh, that's right. Turner did this.
This is one of the Turner deals. Yeah, I remember that somehow in the back of my head. But I'm seeing a mix of color and black and white. The more I dig down here, anyway, very curious about it because I never saw it. It seems like the mother of all chick flicks to me. If I had to guess what this is,
it's going to be hard to sack because this. Actually,
is it good? Is it great?
It is good. Yeah, actually, this is, I think, one of the funnier Marilyn Monroe movies.
All right. So
but I wouldn't call it it's not really a chick flick, I don't think.
Mm. No, I don't either.
Just double checked, the Netflix version is black and white.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, now, does the wind blow up their skirt? Is this
the one? No, that's the 7-year itch.
Oh. Which one's
which
the one?
Which I got right now, and I got some ointment for it.
All right. So I honestly have no idea what to expect. I really don't know.
This is one with Jack Lemmon and Tony Curtis.
I like
pulling
both those
bosom
guys.
Buddies. Pulling a bosom buddies.
Jack Lemmon.
Tony
Whatever,
Curtis.
Jack Lemmon.
I always get Tony Bennett and Tony Curtis mixed up. So he's not
Tony
singing
Curtis
Chicago.
Was like the African Queen. He was
my kind of town. No?
No.
All right.
He's free singing Sinatra.
I'm
I don't
into
care.
It, man. I'm so into big band and like crooner music lately. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm like my grandmother all of a sudden. I don't know what.
Oh, yeah.
You need to listen to Sinatra and you need to watch Deep Space Nine.
I guess so.
There you go.
Now Brian's doing that for us.
I'm doing that, yes.
He's taking the bullet for all of us.
Several seasons of Deep Space Nine that are just wrapped up in big band.
Yep, and gangster clothes. It's great. Zoot suits.
Nine?
Do check back with us then, though. Some Like It Hot next week right here on FilmSack. We got a bunch more stuff coming up after that, so watch for all of that. We are, of course, going to get the hell out of here. FilmSack.com is our email. No, it's not. It's our website. It's on the web. FilmSack@gmail.com is our email address. That's correct. On Twitter, @FilmSack. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are freely downloaded. We love your feedback, so keep that coming. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Mm-hmm.
See you next time.
I'm no schmuck.
Son of a fiat.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Sit still, Cleopatra, and stop blocking me.
Hey, are you guys ready for the Diablo show? I am, 12 episodes guaranteed, maybe more after that, of the Diablo show on iTunes now or at frogpants.com/Diablo. It's me, Scott Johnson, talking about, Diablo. Check it out now at frogpants.com/Diablo.